And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Wednesday, January 8th, 1:06 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside are generally in the teens across much of the area. And we're looking at slightly warmer weather today with southerly winds helping to boost those temps up just a touch. But again, you factor in the winds and that doesn't really feel a whole lot warmer. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Bridget Riedel has the day off today. She is at a conference down to our south, and so she will be joining us again tomorrow. We've got a guest coming on today, Andrew McCray. He's a well-traveled individual, owns his own farm, has his own podcast, so that'll be a very interesting guest that we have out there. But right now, we've got, as I said, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures in the teens, 16 here in town, 15 in Moorhead. Temperatures a little cooler out in Lakes Country with temperatures there in the lower teens. Go down south, Wahpeton, you're at 17, and out west, already in the 20s, Jamestown up through about Minot. And we're looking at some, pretty quiet weather, at least for today, but as we head into tomorrow, that's a different story. So after reaching a high today around 21, we'll drop down tonight to about 12 above. We'll see a little weak system moving into the area late tonight and for the first half of the day tomorrow, bringing us a little bit of light snow. And then winds will switch to the northwest tomorrow afternoon, blowing whatever little snow we get around. So we could have a little bit of slippery travel tomorrow. Only looking at about a half inch to an inch and a half. Highs tomorrow, mid-upper 20s. And again, those winds switching to the northwest and becoming breezy in the afternoon. Then as we head into Friday, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-teens, and then a stronger clipper system comes our way as we start off the weekend. That will spread light snow into the area on Friday into, or Saturday, I should say, into Saturday night. Now, that could give us about 1 to 3 inches of additional snow on Saturday, and then Arctic air pours in with windy conditions on Sunday with highs only in the single digits, and then we'll stay in the single digits on Monday before we start to moderate things by the middle of next week. This weather's update is sponsored by Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance, providing long-term fixed rates for farmland financing. He's here to help all of our local farmers and ranchers. Give him a call, 701-261-6529. So we're looking at, again, some halfway decent weather. Nothing too out of the ordinary for January. Temperatures, again, remaining below normal. And I don't see a big change in the pattern here. According to the LRC, no big storms through the rest of the month. We'll get these minor systems coming through here. And then we should get our quote-unquote mini January thaw the third week of the month, and then we're looking at kind of a roller coaster up and down temperatures, but then turning much colder for the end of the month. Another shot of some cold air coming in that lasting into early February. February looks pretty quiet to start off the month. I do think we'll start to turn stormier later in February, and then March I think is going to be a stormier than normal month as well. But for all the snow lovers, I wish I had better news. There's just not, a whole lot of snow in the forecast. And I know we're a good 11 inches below normal in terms of snowfall, and I just don't see a whole lot coming our way for the rest of the month. So sorry for all the snowmobile lovers and cross-country skiers. Just not looking to be a favorable forecast. Also, you want to stay tuned throughout the show. We are going to qualify somebody for our big trip to Vegas, so you want to be listening for that sounder, and then be the seventh caller when you do hear that sounder. All right, so again, listen for that between now and the end of the show. And don't forget, if you do qualify, you've got to be out at Kingpin's tonight for the big drawing to see who our lucky winner is. And I'll tell you what, if you've never been out to Kingpin's, a great facility, great for the kids too. A lot of stuff for the kids to do, bowling, you name it. It really is a pretty decent facility. And there we go, caller number 7 to qualify for that trip to Vegas. It's going to be one heck of a trip, too, I'll tell you. Can they bring a guest, Addison? Could they bring one of us?
One of us. Now, I like that idea.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about. All right. Caller number one, sorry. Hurry up and try again. Get those fingers dialing. Caller number two is sorry. Try again. Caller number three, sorry. Caller number four, close. Try again. Caller number five, sorry. Try again. Caller number six. Oh, so close. Sorry. And who do we have online here?
Raleigh King.
Raleigh, have you ever been out to Vegas?
Yes, I have.
Have you been to the Sphere?
No, but I've seen it.
All right. Well, you are caller number seven, so you will qualify for our drawing tonight. Now, can you make it out to Kingpin's tonight? Because you've got to be there to win.
I'll have to be there.
All right. Good deal. So, a beautiful trip out to Vegas at the Sphere to see the Eagles. Couldn't ask for more than that. So, Raleigh, we're going to put you on a brief hold here, and then our producer, Addison, will get the necessary information, and we'll see you tonight out at Kingpin's.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. You bet. So congratulations to Raleigh. I do believe, I think that Jay is going to be giving away one last one on his show, if I'm not mistaken. So if you didn't get through this time, you'll want to stay tuned for Jay's show, as he'll be qualifying. And again, if you did qualify over the last few weeks here, you have to be present to win. We'll be drawing that this evening. I believe it's between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, so you'll want to be out there. I'd get out there by 8. There's probably going to be a pretty good crowd out there, and you'll get to meet the crew, kind of say hi to us, and hopefully whoever wins, it's a big trip for them, and it's really special if you've never been out to Vegas. I know we've had a couple of qualifiers that have never been to Vegas. Now, the Sphere is relatively new, so even if you've been to Vegas, the Sphere is just an incredible place to watch a concert. Both the inside and outside is just absolutely amazing. So good luck to everybody, and again, I do believe that Jay will have one more qualifier on his show before the day is done, in case you didn't get through. So we're coming up on a break here. We're going to toss it to our Ag Network and hear from them. When we come back, we will have our guest, Andrew McCray, on. If you have any questions for Andrew or for myself as we head throughout the show, feel free to give us a call, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday, January 8th. We've got temperatures in the teens to low 20s across the area. It's going to be a chilly day, but hey, at least we're warmer than we have been over the last couple of days. Bridget does have the day off. Even she deserves a day off now and then, right? But we've got a special guest today. Andrew McCray joins us. Andrew, boy, he's just a world traveler. He owns his own farm. He's got his own podcast. Andrew, you're just a well-traveled, just well-rounded individual. I want to thank you for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus today.
Hey, good to be with you.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Andrew. We met on LinkedIn, and I've been on your podcast before. For anybody that's not familiar with you, explain a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I wear several different hats in Northwest Missouri. Actually, we have more snow than you guys up there now, which is unusual.
Right?
We're digging out of a storm. But farm and ranch in Northwest Missouri, so corn, soybeans, stocker cattle. But once upon a time, was involved in FFA, was a national FFA officer, so that got me out speaking and traveling. So I still do a lot of that today, speaking to different groups, but then got started in broadcasting way back in 96, started with a program called American Countryside. We do everything on location, travel to different points in the nation, really interesting people and places, a little feature. It's heard on a lot of stations and, of course, podcasts and social media and that sort of thing these days. And then Farming the Countryside, which is the show that you and I have connected on, which is a podcast and radio show now that we've done for, it's been about 6 years now, which is very farm focused. So, yeah, visiting with lots of farmers, traveling a lot of different places, speaking, farming, a little of everything these days.
Now, does this go through generations? I mean, is this something that was passed, the farming, was that passed on from your folks, or how did you get into farming?
Sure. I'm the fifth generation. So farm established in 1910. So we're a century farm here in Northwest Missouri. My great, great grandfather immigrated from Italy as an indentured servant. So he worked off his boat fare, to speak, and then was able to purchase the farm. And then my grandfather bought it from him. And so, I'm the fifth generation, and our kids now are in high school and they would be the sixth generation.
Nice, nice. And, I mean, you've like you said, you've traveled, if I'm reading this right, to 50 states, six continents. Now, is this intertwined with your podcast? Is this intertwined with farming or?
Sure. Yeah. You know, probably what has gotten me the place for the most travel is the American Countryside Show. So done that now. This will be the 28th year. So on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, if folks haven't heard it, they can go to AmericanCountryside.com or American Countryside on Facebook's probably the easiest way to connect. But what happened was, is I was traveling a lot to speak just after those FFA years and still travel a lot to speak. And came up with the idea of interviewing these people in places where I was at. And the network at the time that I was with said, well, hey, yeah, that's great if you want to do the show. They weren't going to pay me, but I didn't care. I was just out of college. I just wanted a way to be on the air.
Right.
And so that's what I did. And so, yeah, now we've done about 7,000 broadcasts on that show. So the goal is to hit every county in the U.S. Now, there's still a ways to go. I've been to all 50 states. But the goal is to hit every county. And if folks follow us, I think this year we will have a website and or app that's updated so people can actually click on the app and hear the broadcast. So, for instance, in Fargo, I've been in that area and done the Maris story about the home runs and so forth. And, there's stories everywhere. So I feel like Cliff Clavin off of Cheers, if people remember that. You know, I know a lot of random stuff. I don't know if it means a whole lot, but that's kind of what my life is Cliff Clavin.
That's a good analogy. So for people that aren't familiar with the American Countryside, you've been doing it, like you said, for over 20 years. If people are looking for it, where can they find it? And what's the show exactly about? If you can go into a little more detail on that.
Sure. You know, people that might be a little older generation might remember Charles Kuralt, did on TV. So it's a bit like that. Interesting people and places. The radio feature, and it's still heard on about 125 radio stations, XM radio. That's just a little 3-minute feature every day. And then if you're not, in the location where you can get it on, XM or radio, you can go to AmericanCountryside.com or American Countryside on Facebook. And the show's post there every day as well. So just interesting people and places. Now, what happened about 11 years ago, I joined the staff at Farm Journal. And so some folks might be familiar with their TV programs like U.S. Farm Report that's on the weekends. And so I now have a TV version of American Countryside that airs inside of U.S. Farm Report. It's not my portion is not every weekend, even though U.S. Farm Report is on every weekend.
Is Orion Samuelson still do that show?
He did not. He has retired now. But yes, he would date back to the early years of that show. So yeah. Tyne Morgan is now host, has been now for several years. And so, yeah, so that's where my work is seen there and Farm Journal platforms as well. So I tend to have my material on different places there. But yeah, American Countryside's really just interesting people and places, usually from rural America, usually stories that kind of have that Americana type of twist to them.
Great. That's awesome. Now, you've been farming for five generations in your family now. What's the biggest, let's say over the last 10 years, what's your biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome while farming? Or even if not the last 10 years, just since you've been farming in Northwest Missouri, what's the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome?
Well, I would say my challenge is a bit unique to me, although I think a lot of farmers experience that, and that is how do we have succession from one generation to the other, and not that we have trouble in who's going to take over, but my father's 81 years old. He's still farming. In fact, I fed cattle with him this morning. But I'm the only son. I have one sister. So we are active in the operation. We have our kids of our own as well. And so I think the challenge is figuring out how to manage that operation, hopefully grow that operation. It's the way you make your living, so you need to make a profit.
Right.
But also with some of the other hats that I wear, I truly do enjoy broadcasting and speaking, but I wouldn't want to do that full-time because I love the farm too much. But at the same time, I think if I was on the farm every single day, there'd be a piece of me that yearned to get out on the road a little bit too. So for me, it's figuring out, okay, how do we make all that happen? And I think that's, as I talk to people, especially in our Farming the Countryside program, which is the farm focus program that's a little bit longer format, we discuss that topic quite a bit, is succession planning, about how does one generation pass those assets on to another. And that can be a big challenge for a lot of folks, because in some cases you're talking about land and dollars, and some people are involved and some people aren't, and you want to keep this farming operation together that's been in a family for 50 or 100 years or more.
Right.
So that's a unique challenge.
Interesting. Now, what crops do you typically farm? Obviously, you rotate it differently each year, but what crops do you typically farm, and which one do you find the most challenging on that?
Well, we are definitely in a corn and soybeans area in northwest Missouri, but we are not in an area that would have that, you know, great fertile ground that you might find in Illinois, Iowa, or even, you know, in your area in the Red River Valley. So we have about half of our farm that is in pasture because it just needs to be in pasture. There's enough roll to that ground. For us in our area, we will rotate back and forth between the corn and soybeans. However, the soybeans probably, compared to the corn, will yield better and usually offer a better profit opportunity. Years will change, but Missouri, and especially where we live, is noted to be a bit better for the soybeans probably than the corn.
Gotcha. All right. Now, you've traveled, like I said, to 50 states, six continents. I'm looking at your resume, if you will, and I'm scratching my head thinking, all right, you got a family, you're farming, and you're traveling all over the globe. Farming, like you said, I mean, that's in your blood, that's in your family. Outside of farming, what is the most rewarding place you've been, if you will, and why would that place stand out?
Well, I'll give you two because they're going to be a bit diverse, but this will give folks a little bit of my background. So I married a farm girl from the adjoining county who is actually a fluent Spanish speaker and had lived in Bolivia for 2 years working with folks there in a country, the poorest one in South America. And so had the chance to travel to Bolivia a couple of times and continue to try to support things, especially through my wife who worked so long down there and continues to work there. So I think that's one of the rewarding places, thinking about how do we reach out to others and help others. And so that's a continuing mission, I guess you'd say, in our lives. You know, on the other side, if you want to look closer to home, I'm going to give it kind of a general category. You know, in doing interviews for 27 years, you meet a lot of different folks. I would say as a whole, visiting with so many World War II veterans was such an rewarding experience, and now so many have passed. I look back to some of those interviews that I've done, and now those folks are no longer with us, and they might have survived Pearl Harbor or D-Day and these types of things. And the chance to go to somebody's home and just sit in their living room and turn on a recorder and hear that story and then get to share that on the radio. And what's, I think, even rewarding more now is our program is only 3 minutes long, at least American Countryside is. But now, you think when I started in 96, there was no such thing as a podcast. Right. You could barely get on the web at that time. And now I can go back and you know this, Dean, you know, in broadcasting, you can process those interviews and what might have sounded kind of grainy or had static to it. You can clean those up. And now to be able to share some of those full length interviews with some of those people, and it doesn't just have to be World War II, it can be many other things. That is rewarding to see those stories, in a sense, live on. They aren't my stories. I just got to be along for the journey and interview somebody and hear their tremendous story and now get to share it with others. That's been a lot of fun.
And like you said, you know, there's not many of that World War II generation that's still around. I know my dad, who had passed who has passed, he fought in World War II. He was in the Air Force. And just being able to, when he was around, being able to hear the stories of these veterans that were in World War II, it's just absolutely jaw-dropping what they had to go through. Just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to touch a little more with Andrew on, let's see, he's been body slammed by a professional wrestler. That should be an interesting story. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about the LRC. And I know Andrew, as he said, he's in Northwestern Missouri, and the founder of the LRC, Gary Lezak, used to work in Kansas City. So we'll talk to Andrew a little bit more about the LRC and some other interesting tidbits. All of that coming up. Don't go anywhere. And if you have any questions for me or Andrew, don't forget, give us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, and Bridget has the day off today. But our special guest today, Andrew McCray. Andrew is a farmer down in Northwest Missouri. He's got his own podcast. He's got his own show. Andrew, let's touch a bit on, your show that you have called Farming the Countryside. This is on, I believe it's RFD TV, is it not?
So it will appear in several different places. Yeah, on the airwaves, it would be on Rural Radio, which is part of RFD, but it's the audio portion. Yeah, so it's Rural Radio XM, and then several radio stations, and farmingthecountryside.com, and I guess they'd say wherever you get your podcasts as well, it's there too.
Okay, and for anybody, and I know we touched on the American countryside, the difference between the American countryside and farming the countryside, What's it all about if people are new to it?
Sure, yeah. So Farming the Countryside is a longer format program. It's what I would call a half-hour program, and it is very much farm-focused. So every week I'm visiting with somebody, it could be a farmer, somebody else within the ag industry, about topics that are very much important to those in farming and agriculture. So American Countryside, we started out with, is more the fun, interesting people and places, short little tidbits, 3 minutes long type of thing on Monday through Friday. Farming the Countryside is what I call the weekend show, although you can get it anytime you want. It's in a sense on demand. And we do have a video version. If you go to YouTube and go to the Farm Journal YouTube page, you will find Farming the Countryside as a video cast too. But all topics in agriculture, including yourself, are on this weekend's show. So
right.
That's an added reason for folks to find the show.
Good deal. Good deal. Now, I'm reading over some of your accomplishments. You got to tell me about this. First off, you've won Emmys and Grammys. That's fantastic. You've been to six continents, but this really stood out to me because back in the day, when we were in college, we watched professional wrestling all the time. Now, it says here that you've been body slammed by professional wrestlers. How in the world does that happen?
Well, so one of the places I went was to professional wrestling school. I did not go there to attend as to be a professional wrestler, but I went there because I thought, well, this will be an interesting interview. And some folks that can go way back may remember a guy named Handsome Harley Race. And Handsome Harley Race is the guy that ran the school. And so that's who I was there to interview, and interviewed him about his life of wrestling and then the school he was running. And then I interviewed some of the, I guess you call them the pupils who were there learning to wrestle. And one guy was in the ring. He was showing me basic moves in professional wrestling. And then he said, well, would you like to take a body slam? And I said, well, I guess so. Oh. And so, you know, I'm not a little guy. I weigh, you know, 200 pounds. I'm over 6 feet tall. I never really had the experience of somebody just picking me up what seemed like so easily. And, you know, pretty soon he just, you know, twirling me around over his head. Now, he did not throw me down with full force, but still, I will never forget that feeling of just being picked up very easily and thrown to the mat.
I would imagine that's something you don't forget. Now, okay, I've got to ask this question, and I don't know if you asked him this question. Is professional wrestling, quote-unquote, real? Did you have? I don't know. I might be afraid to ask that question when I was doing the interview.
You know, I did not ask that. Although I think that he anticipated it, because I remember a moment in that interview where he said, "People say this isn't real, but let me give you a body slam, and I'll ask you if it is real." Kind of a thing. That's basically how it went down.
That's great. That's great. Would that be one of the interviews that stands out in your 20 plus year career?
Sure. I mean, you have some really unique ones like that. One that I always laugh about that was so fun. I did one at the Hoover Dam, and the gentleman I interviewed, I just made the comment when I got done with the interview. He said, I'm going to go over and take a tour, because we were in his office, which was next door to the dam. And he looked at me and said, I'll give you a tour. He said, let's have a real tour. And so he grabbed his hard hat, and pretty soon we were in the tunnels and everything inside that dam, places nobody else would go. And, you know, we were looking out these grates at the water coming over the concrete dam, and it was just a really cool experience.
Wow.
So I'll always remember being inside Hoover Dam. But you have some different ones like that, the Indy 500 being there and, you know, seeing the cars go around and doing interviews. So some of them are just kind of, unique experiences. You just kind of wind up in the right place at the right time, I guess.
The best interview you've done, the one that really stands out, saying, wow, like I'm not going to be able to top that. And I know, I'm sure there's a lot that are important and that stand out. But is there any one particular one that really, really stands out?
I'll tell you, I'll share one, because as I mentioned now, I'm going back and taking those long format interviews and being able to post them so people can listen to them. I think that one of the most interesting interviews I ever did was with a gentleman in Las Vegas who was aboard the Enola Gay when it dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima.
Oh.
He was the gentleman that he was not part of the regular crew, but he was part of the I guess you would call it the scientists, although that he was in the Army Air Corps, who developed the trigger mechanism for that bomb. And so he rode along with that and then monitored it and then pulled the plugs so that it could be used, so that would make it live.
Wow.
And he was on board that plane and remembers looking out the window. And I just thought, wow. He was involved in that project, but then to be aboard that plane and to share his experiences about what happened. He was on a plane with Robert Oppenheimer early in his career whenever they were working on this. And he told me several times, he said, they never told us what we were working on and we never asked.
Oh.
Yeah, he said, now we knew in a sense, but he said, we were young and knew you do not ask what you're working on. It was just, I think it was termed a unique and powerful weapon.
Wow. And that
and I do remember him. Yeah, go ahead.
That changed history. I mean,
oh, yes,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just remember asking him, I said, when you looked out the window, what did you see or what did you think? And he just said it was terrible. And I'll never forget that. He talked about seeing that. But yeah, you just have some interviews like that where he said, wow, this is a gentleman that's seen a piece of history that few others have from that viewpoint,
yeah.
Especially on board that plane.
Wow. Well, let's touch a little bit about what we talked about on your show, which will be airing this weekend. And you had Gary Lezak and myself on, and we were talking about the LRC. We've got anywhere between 50 and 100 farmers up here in the Northern Plains that have subscribed to the LRC. We've got testimonials from a few of our farmers, one in particular from last year, saying, you know, we follow the LRC, and I knew that there was going to be a very wet period, so I planted my crops a little early. And while other farmers got shut out for weeks after that because it was just too wet, so his crop benefited by following the LRC. What are your thoughts on the LRC? Is word expanding down in the Central Plains where you're at, Northwest Missouri as well? I mean, like I said, Gary's from down there. And when I was first introduced to it, maybe that's a better question. When you were first introduced to it, what did you think? Because when I was first introduced to the LRC, I thought, you know, we weren't taught this in schooling, in college, nothing. So I thought this was just bunch of hogwash. I said, but you know what? Let me listen to Gary. Let me see his philosophy and how this works. And I'll tell you, once you sit down and he explains how it works and then the proof behind it, it's just amazing to me. What are your thoughts on the LRC? And like I said, how is this becoming a little more mainstream down in your area?
You know, for me, it was a unique route to learn about it because I first heard about it by attending a farm program just across the river there in Minnesota, and you happened to be speaking. I was on the program after you, and here's this guy named Dean Wysocki talking about the LRC, and in the middle of the program, you mentioned Gary Lezak, and if you live in Northwest Missouri, you know that name because you saw him on TV on NBC Channel 41 for many, many years. And then I knew he left to start his own company. Well, I didn't realize what that was until I heard you speak and say, Gary Lezak developed this. And all of a sudden, everything clicked. And I thought, oh, well, now I know, number one, what Gary's doing. And number two, I know more about the LRC. So for me then, that was intriguing because I had always heard him talk about the LRC on television, you know, for several years, mm-hmm. but had never truly realized then the national or even global impact that model was having. So I think that it's been well received, but I was glad that I learned about it in a sense from you through a farmer meeting and the application to farming and agriculture. And so I think more and more people are continuing to use it. And I know, you know, I have subscribed because I'm a farmer myself, and especially being able to look at some of those weeks and when you anticipate to have more wet weather, I think has been nice. And it's just another tool, I suppose you would say, to be able to help you do what you do better.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, I think this is going to be one of those things that really start to catch on. And, you know, Gary's, his whole thing is he wants this, you know, when all is said and done and he's left this wonderful place, that he wants this to be taught in universities and he wants this to become more mainstream. And I think that's the hard part is getting this to be more mainstream. But again, you know, a lot of people respect our ag community, and I would say that's the hardest nut to crack. If you can get our ag community to say, hey, you know what, this really works. I mean, you know, it's to be able to predict hurricanes to the day where they're going to hit in March and these things hit in September. That's just one example. That it's an amazing tool in the tool chest if you're in the ag community. And yeah, it's good to hear that the word is spreading down there as well. No doubt about it.
Yeah. No, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us for this afternoon. If anybody wants to hear more about the American countryside or farming the countryside, one more time, how can they find you?
Yeah, you know, the easiest way is probably either go to AmericanCountryside.com or FarmingTheCountryside.com. Or those sites on Facebook as well. That's going to get you to a lot of the program information, and my contact info will be readily available through those sites as well. So if they're wondering how to connect or how to find shows and so forth, I enjoy hearing from people. I know that you and I think connect over LinkedIn as well. So
sure.
I try to be out there on those platforms and answer questions and connect folks and so forth. And one other site I might mention for folks is TotalTownMakeover.com. One of my passions is trying to help small towns, rural communities like where I'm from, because that's where I live, and create strong towns. And so we take some of our content that's specific to helping small towns at TotalTownMakeover.com. And that's all free. So hopefully people might enjoy seeing some of that as well.
Yeah. And there's a look at your website right now that we're, if anybody's watching us on live stream. So Andrew, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate your time. And again, if anybody has any, wants to know more, there's the link there on our live stream. You can find more about Andrew and his adventures throughout the countryside and the globe. Boy, I'll tell you, you're a well-rounded individual, Andrew, and I want to thank you once again for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus.
Hey, thank you. And listen to Dean this weekend on Farming the Countryside.
Yeah, so. No doubt about it. Me and Gary will be on your show. I'm looking forward to watching that myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we are going to break down the rest of the LRC calendar for January, February, and into March. Want to kind of highlight when some of these stormier periods are coming up. Hopefully, more snow for our snowmobile lovers. We'll have more on that coming up after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:52 in the afternoon. Bridget Riedel has the day off today. And we've had a few requests about the LRC calendar. That is on our webpage. So You can find that WDAYRadioNow.com, posted that a couple weeks ago. But let's break down the rest of January, if you will. Obviously, as predicted, we were supposed to be quite cold from the 1st through the 15th, and lo and behold, that's exactly what has been panning out. Now, we are expecting, according to the LRC, and our other models are now picking up on this as well, a clipper system coming in here as we head into the weekend. That will be followed by another push of some Arctic air through about mid-month. Pretty quiet weather around mid-month after that clipper system this weekend goes by. We're looking at warmer weather, a brief January thaw, somewhere around, let's say, the 18th through about the 22nd. So not a lot of milder weather. But I do see a break in this cold weather after mid-month. Now, could see another clipper system towards about the 22nd and 23rd of this month. And following that, we will see a push, another push of some Arctic air as we head towards the end of the month with temperatures below normal. So then we turn the page into February, and we all like a little more snow for our snowmobile friends, cross-country skiers, you name it. It does look like there will be a stronger clipper system, according to the LRC, between the 1st and the 3rd, so starting off the month of February. Now, could that come in at the very end of January? Could come in a day early, yeah. But right around that beginning part of February, a good chance for a stronger clipper system to come by. Following that, it does look like we go on an extended period of above normal temperatures for about February 6th through the middle of the month. So a good 10 to 12 days of above normal temperatures for February. Then a stronger storm is possible as we head into February 18th, 19th, and 20th. And if you remember, this is the storm system that brought the blizzard down to our south through Kansas and also into Missouri. Now, depending on a couple of factors, in November, that storm brought us over an inch and a half, about an inch and a half of rain, followed by snow. That's the same one that will be cycling back February 18th, 19th, and 20th. Now, if the same conditions hold that held for the blizzard to our south, this storm will stay to our south. And I think odds are it more than likely will. I think there's a better chance for that storm affecting our area as we head into spring and that jet stream lifts north. And then to round out the month of February, after that storm, it does look like we have a punch of below normal temperatures to end the month of February and to begin the month of March. So we turn the page into March now, and we're looking at a weak clipper system coming in here the 1st and the 2nd of March. Again, give or take a day or so. And then we'll have a brief shot of cold air. And then much warmer weather, above normal temperatures, almost for the rest of the month of March from the 5th onward. We're looking at temperatures above normal, possible storm system just after mid-month. About the 17th or 18th, right around that time frame, and then finishing the month up with above normal temperatures. So all in all, I mean, like I said, I think we're going to flip the switch from winter to a quick warm-up during the month of March after about the 10th, if not a little sooner than that. That's when we flip the switch. Now, that doesn't mean we won't see any snow for the rest of March or into April, but we'll definitely notice a big pattern change where we do start to warm up and stay that way consistently. I do see a stronger system coming in early April as well. And again, I think later March and especially into April, that's when we stand the chance of seeing our stormier conditions. And hopefully by then we're in the form of rain and not snow. But yeah, just not seeing a whole lot of big snow systems for our area for the rest of winter. Again, LRC was predicting about 30 to 40 inches of snow for this winter season, which obviously is below normal. So not great news for our snowmobiler lovers or cross-country skiers. But again, I think we're going to play catch-up when it comes to moisture as we head into March and April, which is great, great news for our ag community. So if you have any questions on the LRC, feel free. Shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com, weather@flagfamily.com. I know we've gotten quite a bit of people taking vacations. Hey, what does it look like during this time period? Again, and it's not just for our area. We can kind of zone in on if you're taking vacation anywhere in the country, We can use the LRC to be able to tell you what the forecast looks like for across the U.S. So it's been a good show today. I want to, again, thank Andrew for joining us. Again, if you missed the interview with Andrew, he really does have a great podcast. And Gary and I will be on that this weekend, Farming the Countryside and the American Countryside. We'll be talking about the LRC and on Andrew's podcast as we head into the upcoming weekend. So for Bridget and myself, although Bridget is gone for the day, I want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The number one show in the Northern Plains. I think it might be number one show in the country now. Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next.